Well, build my gallows and build them high. Makes a long time climbing before I die. I want the chance that's built in his eye. Well, he gave me balls, but I can see between to a dusty yard and a long gone green. They call that freedom, if you know what I mean. And I drown my sorrows, but the whiskey's gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Long Bangers. I'm Matty. This is episode 98. Joined tonight. I'll go just round in anti-clockwise. But first of all, I've got Colin. Colin, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all good, mate. Yeah. Just living the dream, eh? Monday, first day back at work after the weekend. And then, only another four to go. So happy
days. A long week ahead as well.
This week is, because we're what we're looking forward to. I was dreaming about it last night. We're 2.5 up. Early doors, and then at half time it was turned into Hearts that we were playing, and we held on, survived the late onslaught, and won the cup. So I'm taking that
as a sign. It's a sign.
Aye, it's actual facts. What's happening? Then we've got Jamie. Jamie, how are you doing?
Doing good, thank you very much. Doing good, aye. Excited about the week ahead. As Colin says, it's going to be one of them that's going to drag out. I was actually supposed to be off on Friday and go and see my pal, who stays in Glasgow, but he got the heave-ho after their staying in level 3. So I'm now be working on Friday, an extra longer day, but working for the house, so that's all right.
That's not bad. And then we've got Sean on as well. Sean making his Long Bangers debut. Sean, your curvy Nisbet's adopted dad. What's the script there?
You're asking me like a no. I think the story's longer than John is, and he's a pretty long boy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they'll go there. No. So the show got its name. How are you doing, Sean, anyway?
Good, I'm actually really quite excited. I'm a bit of a fanboy of Long Bangers, so it's almost an honour to be here in the presence of the greats.
We'll take that. good to have you on anyway. Right, we'll start off talking about the Celtic game, which was the curtain, I was going to say the curtain raiser, but it's the curtain coming dinner. Curtain faller, and what's the fucking expression for
closer.
That one?
Eh? It's closer, isn't it?
Curtain closer.
It's closer.
Closer. Fuck it. It was end of season. It was end of season game. It was a bit of a non event, but we will try and find something to talk about it anyway. Colin, what did you think then? What was your view in the game?
Well, I was on Quick Bang on Saturday, and I couldn't think of anything to say on Saturday because nothing happened, like I said on Saturday, but. I think the two teams weren't that interested, were they? Celtic started off first 10, 15 minutes, few chances. Marciano made a few good saves to remind us or to wave us goodbye sort of thing. Other than that, I think much happened. Apart from, I forgot about on Saturday, was Edwards' free kick when he banged it into the top corner just as the referee was blowing his whistle. So that was quite fortunate. I was quite lucky. But and then I think Jackson Irvine had the chance right at the death, actually, as well, which we didn't get a corner for, which if he missed, I was hoping it was a corner because it was a bad miss if I had never got his foot yet. But other than that, the most interesting thing for me was we had two goalies on the bench, and I'm really not sure why we had two goalies on the bench. That was it. I can't think of anything else to say about the game. There was really, really nothing to say, other than obviously Melberg, or whatever they were calling him. Can he stay on side? He's even worse than Boyle. I'm on about Boyle running offside, but there we go. It's not as easy as it looks.
We were trying to work out whether Hallberg was caught offside more or less than Colin Nish in his career in that one game. Because it's a hard task, because Nish was offside a lot, but I think he gave it a good bloody bash anyway. Colin, by the way, your summary was almost word for word exactly the same as Jack Ross's.
Is that what he said?
Was it? No.
I thought he said it was fucking shite. I thought that's what he said.
Jamie, what were you, mate? What did you think at all?
It was just a damn scrubby a game, eh? But everybody knew that. Nothing to play for both teams. Surprised Celtic actually started too strongly. I still kind of wrap my head around why we gave Scott Brown a present and a sending off. I'm like, be back with Aberdeen next year. What the fuck's going on? It didn't make any sense at all. And I believe during the build-up, they gave Marciano a tiny wee piece and dedicated loads of time to Scott Brown. It's like, he's played for us for years, decades. But anyway, a bit of a damage grip game. I'm just glad that everybody come through unscathed. You've got a full compliment to Pickfey. Jackson Irvine does need to get his shooting boots on. That was a bad miss in my book. He made a really bad error against Dundee United as well. Instead he's trying to take it with his left, he's trying to hit it with his right and put it over the bar in the semi. Just, I didn't care what's wrong with him, but he's a better passer than the boss. He is a finisher anyway.
I think it's to do with Australia, Ken, how that's upside down. So sometimes your left and rights are a bit confusing when you come into the northern hemisphere. That's what happens. I think his shot was deflected. I think we should have had the corner. I didn't think
he should have scored.
Even if it was a miss.
Even if I does get a touch on that, he's still got to do better than that in that area.
How does that work? If the defender's blocked it, he's...
No, I know, but it's it must have been the slightest in nicks. He could still do more than that. I think he should definitely be doing better than that. I'm sorry.
I thought linesman should have been doing better, but anyway, he had a good view. Should have been that. Actually, the referee was quite close to it as well.
No, just behind it, I think.
Aye.
Behind it.
Well, what about the free kick then? So the referee blew. It was a split second, wasn't it? If you watch it, it's almost as he's swinging the boot at it. He goes, stop.
But he wasn't looking at him, though. Colm was giving it. He was looking ahead and pointing that way. And he wasn't looking at me. He didn't know Edward was about to ping it into the top corner.
Some finish, right?
That was a beauty, and you just get the next thing. You see Rocky creeping over a bit, thinking, still doing that again. Of course, you never do it twice in a row anyway, so he's always got to hit the wall or something, isn't he? But the Celtic fans can't even worry about that, because he wasn't looking at him. It wasn't deliberate. Like, he never stopped him in his run-up. He didn't know where he was, so. And see, on that, the Hibs TV stuff, Jamie, sorry, the a lot of Celtic fans probably paying to watch the game, eh? I reckon we were pandering to the Celtic masses that would be on the pay-per-view.
I do agree with that, but we shouldn't be doing that. They would never do that to us.
No. Well, we didn't even get to buy it for them.
I don't think we do. I think Celtic, if they buy it, it's like, do you know, we get Cliff Pike in that if we're watching St Johnson TV. I'm not sure if Celtic get the pre and post match stuff.
I don't know. Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong. But I just thought that maybe was the case, like, no.
You do Kilmarnock and St Mirren, you can see their preview before the game, and you can switch it over to a different link and you get the Hibs, the broadcasting.
Is this when you buy it legitimately?
And obviously the Rangers.
What was that?
Listen, is that when you buy it legitimately?
Mm-hmm.
Aye. Right, we'll take your word for it.
And I've bought loads this season because my other means of watching the game has been really poor, so I've bought pretty much every other team's pay-per-view.
Ah, good stuff. Sean, what about you? What was your view on the game?
I listened to Quickbang and I agreed with pretty much everybody said, with the exception of it being a nothing game. Because I thought there was a good few players out there where that game meant a lot to them. And you could see it. You know they were trying their best to show something. Dre Wright, Daz, Porto, they were all there and they were all putting in like a serious shift. And you could see that they're like, it was a nothing game. Celtic were barely trying. A lot of our guys were just going through the motions at times, but there's performances in there. They're like, no, no, I'll be in this cup final. You could see that, and I quite like that.
Big Daz was amazing.
It's a good point you make there, Sean, because one of the performances that got overlooked, and we definitely never talked about him on Quickbang, was Porteous. Porteous had a good game. You forget that because McGregor got all the attention. It's easy to overlook how good a game Porteous had, because that was the discussion we had on Saturday, wasn't it? It was who should play in the cup final, McGregor or Porteous, but actually Porteous didn't really do anything wrong in that game to make him think that he should be dropped either.
I'd say so.
I think
there's loads of chats between my pals basically saying that we should match up St Johnston and play the three of them at the back, which then obviously you would have to either concede a midfielder or drop McGinn. Which, to be honest with you, I think he'd be hard pushed because he's played every minute of every game this year. So I understand, obviously, the thing, but I don't think we should be switching up how we're playing in any formation going into the last game of the season when we're coming off some great football the last few games.
That's where I'm at as well. Aye. Stick with what got you there in the first place, but you've been playing well, so I agree with you with that one, Chevy.
Sean, you see what he done with the team. Like on Saturday, there's eight on the bench, like we said, are all playing next week.
Yeah.
And there was three positions up for grabs, and it was McGregor or Porteous, and then the three midfielders, Newell, Halberg, and Gogic, two of the three. That's the team, isn't it? I think there's any doubt about that. He's not going to start asking about the formations and drop McGinn or, you know, put Boyle up front and all that kind of stuff. It's not going to happen.
There's an option of substitution as well, because Trey Wright came on, done really well. He's had a couple of substitution performances. But then, his name's just went right in my head.
McGinnis?
Our serial substitute. The other one, Murphy. Murphy, whenever he's came on lately, he's been terrific. So yeah. I reckon there was a bit in there where it's just like, right, let's see how everybody runs here today, because who's going to be our best off? I think it's Murphy by a country mile. I'd bring him on as a sub every time, whether it was we needed to stretch them because they were attacking us too much or we needed a goal, I'd be bringing him on. So I think he's looked terrific anytime he's played.
But, I agree. I didn't think
McGinnis was really up to it. I don't know. Like, people say great things about McGinnis, but and I've been dying to see it because John has probably mentioned it before. I am more than positive. I love Hibs players and I want everyone to do well. Me and him have got that in common. And I've not seen anything from him yet, really. A lot of trying hard, but always seems to be a yard behind the ball. And maybe that's just game sharpness, but it's just...
He almost gave away a penalty on Saturday as well. It was really blatant.
I really hope he comes good, because I think the way people have talked about him, because I've never really seen him when he was this one, but the way people have talked about him, that he's really got something. I'm dying to see it. I haven't yet.
With St Mirren, he was young player of the year 2 years in a row. Then obviously captaining him at a young age and everything. Anytime I'd seen him first St Mirren, I was impressed with that. I was dead excited when we signed him. I think he's just not really had that run in the team to kind of build his confidence up or get the sharpness up, whatever it is. You'd presume that he's been fit long enough to kind of get his fitness levels up, but I don't think fitness is the same as match sharpness. So hopefully with a decent pre-season behind him, and another, like, that'll be a year that he's been at Hibs. Hopefully we kind of see the best next season. Did anybody have any complaints about the team selection?
No.
Nah.
Can I just clear something up, because there's been loads of chat. Am I right in saying that you wouldn't be able to promote youth players for a one-off game because there has to be a certain amount of first-team players to play in a league match? Is that right? You can't just play youth, can you?
I think you could, in theory. I think the issue, and this is kind of piecing together bits of information that we've had, so I stand to be corrected on it. But I think there's a couple of issues. There's one that the development team played on a Friday night. I think so. Some of the players were away there. But also because of the way that the bubbles have been working for COVID, that unless they'd all gone through the same testing regimes and the stuff, you couldn't just draft them into the squad. So I think last season, when you never had any COVID issues, if you wanted a couple of young boys to come in, you could just go, right, you, you're in with the first team tonight, and then they would come into the squad and that'd be that. Whereas now you'd have to probably plan that weeks in advance, which I think we would have been able to do because we didn't ken we were definitely third until we beat Aberdeen.
Yeah.
I asked that as well, Jimmy. I thought that there was no. I was surprised at that on Saturday when it was just effectively the eight that are going to be playing next week. We're just straight on at the bench rather than a couple out altogether sitting in the stand with a couple of young laddies and either starting or on the bench. Because the one that's been about the squad is Bradley, isn't it? That's been about the squad recently. But I was listening, I think it was Hibs talk earlier on, and they were saying that he was injured, I think. So maybe that's why he's lost his chance. I think that's what they said. I may have got it wrong. But that would make sense why he's, because he's been on the bench and had a couple of chances here and there. But I can only imagine he's injured, and that's the only reason he never got a start. Because he must have been.
It made sense to play the players who had picked up wee knocks and had like Newell, Halberg, stuff like that. Had picked up wee knocks. It was good to give them a run as well and get them some minutes. And then obviously going into next week, I've loads of chat with my pals on WhatsApp about that.
And two goalies on the bench, Colin. You mentioned that he's anybody annoyed that we never took the opportunity to do a Man City like they did with David James.
Why not? Stick the big man up front. 6'7" he is, apparently. You could chuck a big high ball into him, see what happens.
But you could have done an Alison Becker. if you saw that.
My head of that, that was.
Aye, it's back on you, man.
Aye. Anyway, I have no talk about English football. Imagine if you put Macy up front though when he got injured, fucking going for the header.
I know. It would have to be Naladi. It would have to be Dabrowski that went up front.
David James, when he came in, he just ran around kicking everybody. He was like Kyle McGuinness. That's what he did on Saturday. Anyway, he was maybe just filling that role for him. I think there's that much more to talk about. Maybe Marciano. I suppose Marciano finished his Hibs career with a clean sheet, assuming he doesn't play on Saturday. Jamie, how would you summarise Marciano's time at Hibs?
I think he's been the most consistent goalie we've had in a long time. We'd been crying out for a decent goalie. We'd had some dross over the time. You have Mark Soxley, you've got Skelton, Ken Otto, just not very good keepers. I'll tell you a story about Skelton. My pal used to work in a travel agent's, and when we beat them, when Letapi had scored the penalty that day, he had a particularly good goal. He had a good game and goal. And he went in, my pal's a Hearts fan, he went anyway, get that up, you Hearts bastard, in the shop. And I thought it was tremendous. Well, he'll take that one from me, but
lifetime contract.
Is it not got done for, was it got done for like armed robbery or something like that? Like, who am I thinking?
He'd be murdered at hiding unless he's stood right next to us.
Do you know what? This is, of all the things that's going to get the podcast into trouble, will be me alleging that it's Kelson's a fucking criminal. Again, I might be talking shite, right? It wouldn't be unusual. I'm sure. See, normally when I say something like that, John will quickly Google it in the background, right? And I'll kind of keep talking.
Dana.
But I would do it myself, but you have to spell it. I'm like, oh, fuck. Former Hibs keeper arrested, you might find it.
That's brilliant, man.
Sean, what about you? How would you sum up Marciano's time?
I don't think it's a coincidence that the strength that we've came from two. Does that make sense? We've got better with Marciano in the team. Like, he's been solid, he's been brilliant, he's been an absolute asset the whole entire time. It's that simple. He's a massive loss, but Macy looks good.
Yeah, it's good having somebody decent coming into the place. Paul, what have you found?
Just to say, Hibs goalie arrested comes up with Graham Stack, right? Loads of stuff on Graham Stack. So I have to go Icelandic at the end of it. And you're right. So, first of all, housebreaking, robbery, and violent attack 10 months ago.
No way! What? How did you know that?
Eh?
I'm sure I read it. Probably in the message board or something.
I doubt it'd be at some point.
So he's not the only goalie to be arrested, though. So, he's in good company.
Graham Stack, he was on, was it the Magic Sponge or something like that? Was that the name of the
Jimmy Bullard
podcast? And he was talking about fucking stealing tractors and that on holiday and going into a nightclub and showing folks coats and stuff. Like it's all good banter. And you're like, fucking hell, you showed a tractor. As you come out, you didn't get your coat back out the cloakroom. You've got your wee raffle ticket and that.
Well, that always happened to me.
Can I get my coat back? Look, fucking it's gone.
You can't have your coat, but here's a JCB.
Here's a JCB. I always thought they were the shittest raffles, eh? Like, all you ever won was your coat back. You never got like a fucking tin of beans or a bottle of wine or fuck all. Right. So that's Marciano covered off. Season's finished, other than the cup final. How was the season for you? So how did you find it? Colin, I'll start with you. How was this season for you?
It's funny, isn't it? Because it's one of the best seasons, or hopefully the best season in our lifetime after Saturday night. But it's just not felt like that because of the sitting in the house watching on the telly, I think. It's not the same getting, you don't get up for the game as much. You're just sitting watching it with a cup of tea or a coffee or whatever on a Saturday afternoon and highlight of your days, phoning in. Quick, man. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not the same when you score a goal, though. It's funny. It's just not been. But on paper, it's been a brilliant season. But it's funny, I was watching Sports Scene last night and they'd done shortlist for goal of the season and we never had even a goal in that shortlist. And I can't even think, to even say, how is that one to win it? Because I've not got that much, can't recall any brilliant goals. We've had great consistency. Aye, that was a decent goal, aye. But Other than that, that's a fair shout. Maybe it was too late for the cut on the programme, I suppose, but you look at it and you think, I can't think of any. We've had some good results, but
Gogic. Gogic is one. Ken, if you're including Ryan Kent's one, then you put in Gogic's in for me.
That was a good strike.
Gogic's strike was better. Just about fucking took the net off.
Yeah, that was still going through, still rising. Yeah.
Kevin Nisbet's in the cup was a cracker. I don't know. It was one. I think it was maybe Cove Rangers when he's flicked it with outside his boot into the corner.
That'll be league goals only, of course. But yeah. That you're right. That was a beauty. Yeah. But it's just not been the same, is it? It's just not been. Even though, three semi-finals, we've not been to any of them, and third in the league, and it just feels. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. But that's nothing to do with Hibs. You know what I mean? Hibs have been brilliant, but it's just been just a bit sort of damp squib. Really, just we're sitting in the house watching it.
What about you, Jamie? Have you found that?
Well, I think anybody would hard press to say it wasn't a good season. Take away the fact that we've not been in there. I completely agree with Colin. It's been frustrating not being able to go and see the team. But they've had a terrific season against all odds, really. So you can't not being third in the league. I've made two semi-finals and one semi-final for last year, and then a final. So a terrific season. If we can cap that off with a win on Saturday, my God, that would be absolutely outstanding. I just was saying the season that we've had. I've seen that Sky had released the details of the team of the season in Scotland.
Hi.
Did you see it?
I saw the colours. I saw the strips. So fuck that. Then they went into any detail after that.
Sky. It's just total actual nonsense, man.
Sky didn't give a fuck. Look at that. You had the relegation sort of decider. Didn't even show it. No, it wasn't. You know, it's like what coverage is that the game? Like they would definitely be at Burnley, Sheffield United if it mattered. You know what I mean? But, they'll no show the biggest game of the season for the teams.
I mean, fucking Ross County Motherwell. I mean, that is a big game that folk would be fucking itching to see.
I would have watched that. I would have watched that. I was sitting watching Edinburgh City before I came in here. You see the goal the boys scored there, I don't know, it was a cracker. I don't know, first they 1-0 up at half time.
There was a thing. Sky released the details of how many games they'd shown. So I think they had the rights for 47 and they showed 42. I know, I think 7 of the 42 that they showed didn't include one of the Old Firm. So it shows you how little they give a fuck about Scottish football.
They didn't even show the whole allocation.
So they could have, by rights, they could have shown probably all those games on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it made a disgrace that they didn't. The only kind of positive that I've got for Sky is that they agreed to show the games, or for the clubs to show the games in pay-per-view next year, despite having the rights to it, which I thought has been brilliant this season for somebody who doesn't go to all away games. Like, I'll go to away games when I can. But to see all of them, like, I've not missed a minute this season. I think it's a great idea. And I think clubs, even beyond next season, when they've got full crowds again, should be looking at a way to have that on offer. I didn't think it would stop folk who go to away games for going to away games. So you'll know impact crowds. See, for folk who can get to the away games, the chances to still be able to watch the game is fantastic. Sean, what about you? How did you feel about the season?
Reflecting on the boys' stuff, they're like, crap, not being at games, just shite. Just a shite not being at the pub. Like, it's that level. horribleness. But for just the Hibs perspective, just the boys in the park, probably easy, like probably the breeziest season we've ever had. Like, our biggest lull was like three games.
Like,
well, when does that happen? I was just, every time anybody got, like, there was a sniff of a draw with whoever, or there was a loss, and it was panic station, Jack or shit, get him out. And like, it just tailed off and tailed off and tailed off because the performances were just that consistent all the time. Like, probably as easy a season as we've seen Hibs play. And I don't, maybe easy is the wrong word, like as professional or as
comfortable. You're right.
As competent as a season as you've seen. I think he's been brilliant to watch.
I think it was Ewan for Down the Slope. I'm going to credit him with this stat. I'm not sure if it definitely was him. So we weren't out of the top four all season. Which is incredible. Like, it's a great stat. To be in the top four from day one and then finish third is, again, something that Hibs, I can't remember us ever do. We always have that kind of bit in a season where we're like really shite. But like you say, Sean,
it's usually January to May.
That's why we never won the fucking cup. Our bad run came at a bad time every season. But this season, we talked about it in the podcast early days in this season about how the team had found a sort of level of performance and a way of playing that more often than not would get them wins because we tended to control the ball or no concede too many chances, that kind of thing that we were always looking comfortable in games, even in other than the odd occasional one where we were shite, but even in the big games, so-called big games, I still felt we were pretty comfortable in them, even if we didn't go on to win them.
I agree.
I've enjoyed the season in that respect. I've enjoyed watching us. No, every game, like we have had a couple of shockers, and it's definitely not as good as being in the stadium, because even like when you miss and you're watching on the TV, if there's like a shot that goes wide, there's no reaction to it. You just go, oh, kind of lucky. Mm. Whereas when you're at the ground, you're like, fucking up, off your seat.
Have you found it easier to accept a loss when we're sitting in the house watching it? You just switch it off and then, or then normally having that bit waiting to get out of the stadium, walk back to the car, listening to Richard Gordon in the car on the way home. Right now, you can just go stick back BBC One back on, and that's it. Or
is it just me? I don't know. It depends on the game. For me, it's been how we've lost. So I think, what were the two games we had back to back in, what was that, December, January time? Ross County and Livingston, the two home games. And I don't think we had a shot on target out of the two. In fact, a shot on goal, never mind on target, out of the two games. And they were so bad. And those two performances pissed me off for fucking ages, much longer than normally they would. But then, it's a good point, Colin. If I'd been at the ground, it might have been worse. So maybe that was me just kind of getting off light. I don't know.
I remember.
But it's the same.
Listening to how angry you were.
I think I described them as Butcher-esque performances. It was like as bad as anything that we've seen under Butcher.
Terrible.
And folk were like, I got a bit of stick for it for kind of. Like, I wasn't implying we were going to get relegated or that we were in any trouble, but just those specific performances were as bad. And I stand by that. I got a wee bit pelters for that on .net and stuff for folks saying I was overreacting. But it's like, well, if you've played two games at home and you've not had a shot on target, that's shite.
Yeah.
Or a shot on goal. It doesn't matter in opposition, really, unless you're playing fucking Barcelona or somebody. But if it's Ross County and Livingston, you should be getting a shot on goal. Anyway, they were dwelling on the negatives because that was
it's
like
the same on the
games out of a good season.
It was a bad time, though. We had the semi-final, the other semi-final about the same time, didn't we?
But yeah.
On the flip, though, do you celebrate a win as much as you do when you're at the game? I don't. Again, similar, just like flick it over to see what games on Sky Sports or something. I mean, I didn't reflect on it as much. It's like, come on, what else is on now? You know, I don't know.
When we scored that second goal last week against Dundee United, I was off my seat jumping about my living room.
Aye, same
here. I was the same here, but that's the only, I can't think of any other time this season I've done that.
You see, when
I'm the same.
When we did Quick Bang after that, and we had folks singing, and there was all the noise in the background and stuff. That was probably the closest I've come to carrying that emotion beyond the full time. So into the next week, you're still kind of buzzing for it. And then when we beat Aberdeen, I was buzzing after that for a wee bit as well.
I tend to know that Hibs ruin anything for me. I kind of got over that a long time ago. So it happened more often than no. So as much as I'll be disappointed and I'll have a wee sort of grumble and moan to my pal, as I was saying on the WhatsApp day, I never boo. I just didn't understand it. So it's you can play shite and I can be unhappy, but I wouldn't boo. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Especially for the couch, like nobody's going to hear you.
Well, my missus saying, what are you going on about? Yeah, well, but I tend to, once I've left the game or once it's there, stop in another beer and just get on with it.
Aye, it's a good way to be. Season highlights then, so Sean, I'll start with you. What's been your highlight of the season?
I've struggled with this all day. because you put that in the little brief. And I was like, I'm going to come up with something clever here, because John would come up with something clever, and I was supposed to be filling in, but I've got that. Dodgy's goal, Dodgy's volley the other week there, where he's flicked it up with one foot and then he's belted it with the other. Like, for someone who doesn't score good goals, or someone who's just not good enough in Ibsa, or doesn't do enough in Eswa, that is an absolute wonderful bit of football. And I think his season's performances deserve that bit of quality to round off what should be considered a good season for him. I'm taking Doidge's
Bergkamp-esque goal scoring exploits. Jamie, what about you?
I'm just going to keep it really simple. Reaching the Scottish Cup final is massive. I was been bleating on about this. I was dead nervous, wanted to get in it because it's been such a shit year for everybody. And for it, like, the Hibs is a group of people. I'd love us to do it and just kind of be that one thing coming out of lockdown, having such a good bit of emotion in the pubs and getting the pub and watch the game. Yeah. It would just be absolutely tremendous.
What were you, Colin?
Kind of touched on it a minute ago, but the semi-final Dundee United game, that was probably the only time this season that I always come and cook dinner after the game on a Saturday, come in here, do the call, and then start cooking the dinner. I had the tunes on the Alexa blaring out, singing along, and that was probably the only time this season that's carried on that long. Obviously got the big game monkey off the back, even though we had one of the big games, but folk weren't recognising them as big games and all that. So
yeah,
that then you can't argue with that one, because it was their criteria. So it was just a good feeling that day, and I'm hoping it's Saturday's even better. But that was probably the highlight of the season. I do think we've played some good stuff this season. A lot of people are criticising us for playing poor stuff. And I said to you earlier in the season, we're playing all right, but it's bits and starts, like, you know, it's never feels like we did 90 minutes. Hopefully, again, that Saturday's turn, but we do play some good stuff now. I think some of the media and that are over-exaggerating now, but we've got some fans that downplay it to the other extent. It's like, we do play some decent football, but the amount of times I've read or heard folks saying we're playing shite football, I think, not really. We're not really playing shite football. It's just no for 90 minutes, and we're no wiping somebody off the park, and we're winning 2-0 or 2-1 or 1-0, but then everybody will come back to when we lose. It's a results game.
Yeah.
Well, it's a results game. We're winning and we're playing all right.
How many times have we played that split pass, they split a defence this season? Loads of times, and we've got goals from it. I've never known it to be so open like that, to boil through, to have Nisbet through, what have you. I've got a Scott Allen-esque pass. That's happened loads of times this season. For Newell, for Irvine, stuff like that. I mean, some really good football with them.
Aye. And we've scored all sorts of different goals as well. I think that's what's impressed me with Hibs this season. It's, although you can point to, we've got Murphy and Boyle, so you'd expect us to be really dominant down the wings. Like you say, Jamie, they'll play through balls. We score for crosses. We're kind of hitting the byline and cutting it back. We're scoring some long-range shots. The fact that the three strikers have got almost 50 goals between them, it's like, it's good. It's hard to... It's hard to back up the argument that folk were saying earlier in the season that we were boring. It's kind of how you can have that many goals in you and be boring. Anyway, I was going to talk about lowlights, but fuck it. The point talking about lowlights, that's just negative. Hey, we've got a big week ahead of us, so let's not dwell on the shit stuff. Who's been your best signing this season? Who wants to go first for that one?
I actually got something done. I'll let you go.
Does Doogie Tripod count as a sign?
It's a good shout, by the way. And something that breaks the season. Well, he's been at the club because he was out on loan last season, wasn't he, at Queen's Park? So you probably couldn't claim as a sign-in.
You could have had him
as your highlight.
I could have.
The emergence. It's pretty obvious it'll be Nisbet, or the one I had, I thought Nisbet's the best signing, but then I thought, if I'd be trying to be a bit clever, Boyle re-signing.
That's what I said.
Because, we'll probably sell him on for more, keeping him on that deal. But as I've said numerous times, when we play well, it's because Boyle's playing well. I think if a team can keep Boyle quiet, Hibs are generally quieter, even though we've still got Doidge and Nisbet there. Boyle kind of makes us tick, probably no, but he's the exciting player. He's the one that gets into the positions and creates all the opportunities for others. And I think him re-signing was a big boost at the time. And,
I think it's spot on. But do you think there's an argument for Irvine as well? Because really, I'm saying we didn't have many lulls, but one lull we did have, Irvine came in and then that's what picked us up. So you could say that the drive towards the end of the season started with him.
He was definitely an impact, or had a big impact. I think him and Cadden came in at the same time, didn't they? And then Cadden started really well and then got injured. But Jackson Irvine, that way around. He's not been amazing in any games, like in loads of games, but I think he's given us legs in the midfield. Can folk talk about having legs in the midfield and somebody who can kind of be that box-to-box type player? I think he's the closest we've got to it at the moment. He definitely makes a difference. Brings in the best in Newell, I think, as well.
Right.
Jamie, would you go with Boyle or have you got somebody else?
I was pretty much going to say what Colin said there. Had Nisbet no thrown the toys at the pram in January, he would definitely would have got that best signing. I think he went through that bit of a law and Jack Ross kicked him out of the team because of it, which I think was the right move. But Boyle, for me, I definitely the most important sign-in of the season because everybody thought he was away. And he's been tremendous this year. Kenny's not been like on fire every game, but he just gives you that different dynamic going forward and what have you. And I still like the fact that everybody calls him Martin Boyle on the telly, so he'll do for me.
He's the sort of player that, it's like you were saying, Colin, even if he's no firing on all cylinders, because teams have to be wary of him, it makes it really hard to defend against Hibs in general, because it must be a fucking nightmare. You're looking, you've got Doidge, who just works his socks off, is an absolute handful. Nisbet, who's like the crafty player, who again, his movement's excellent. And then Boyle, who can just fucking terrorise you. And if one of them's quiet, you still get your hands full with the other two. And there's the risk that the other one will pull something at the bag, like Boyle did in the semi-final against Dundee United, where he was shite. He wasn't shite. He was all right for 70, 75 minutes. And then he had like a 5-minute spell where he was just running them ragged. And you just kind of leave him alone. So, it's a good shout. I wouldn't have picked Boyle for it just because he was a re-signing. I would have went for Kyle McGuinness or Jay Wright.
Obviously.
Right. Where would you improve for next season? So, we finished third this season. We've got to the cup final. And fingers crossed we'll win it. What area of the team are you strengthening next season? Jamie, I'll start with you.
It all really depends on who leaves, to be honest with you. Who have we got out of contract? You've got Jackson Irvine going to go, which I think will be a big loss. Now, I've said on Quickbang before, if we are going to let him go, or he doesn't want to sign with us, or he's got a better offer somewhere else, whatever it may be, we need to try and push the boat and try and get Alan Campbell for that position. There's a touted about information on Twitter saying that you can get him for 500 grand. That's an absolute snip if you can get him for that. But I also think we'll probably need a striker. I'm not sure if Gillen will come back into the fold and see how he'll be. I think he's definitely got talent to play there, but if the manager doesn't fancy him, we could look at strengthening there. But as I say, it all depends on what happens during the close season, who stays, who goes, kind of deal. I'd be disappointed to, I think Nisbet will probably go, maybe Doig, and then definitely a centre-half, and if we can get the laddie Kieran for St Johnson that's been mooted about, then he's really good on the ball as well and really good in the air. So I definitely take him.
He was just in the paper this week or yesterday saying that he was wanting to stay at St Johnson. If that's just a week up to the cup final, so just taking the speculation away, but I agree, I think he'd be a good signing. What were you, Colin? Where would you strengthen?
I've got a wee list. But I was going to say, see, the 500 grand, that makes sound unrealistic. But I was listening to McGinn, Stephen McGinn was on the radio on, I don't know, Thursday night, I think. And he said Nisbet signed for 500 grand. So I assume he's in the know. I'm sure I was going to rewind it and listen again, but pretty sure he said 500 grand that Nisbet signed for. So if we were paying that this year, then why can we not do it again when we've cashed, because we'll probably cash in on that and at least double our money, won't we? Or quadruple it. I think there's a few things to change. I think we could do a goal scoring midfielder. because we've not really got all our goals are coming from strikers. So, yeah. Which sounds like I'm complaining, but we've got I think if Neil scored any goals this season, Irvine
one, I think, Neil
and Halberg. I think he's had Eri Gogic, the one that I can remember. So it's like, you know, it's single figures. I say single figures, single digits. Like finger digits. A goal scorer midfielder, we give one away in Malin, obviously, but then he doesn't give as much in the other aspect, so it's a bit of give and take there. Obviously, our backup defence is the 2016 Cup, so they're getting a bit old now, maybe, the backup. And as I've said before, in Europe next season, no matter what, we're going to need a bigger squad. So we're just going to need numbers. Now, I'd rather have my quantity and quality mixed up, but I want the quality, but we need quantity as well. So I think we might need to have a look at that, because otherwise we'll get to about October, November, we'll not be winning every week or most weeks like we have this season, and the knives will be back out. So because we're away to Azerbaijan on Thursday night and back to home to St Johnstone on Sunday, and folk will be scrambling about looking for reasons why we drew 0-0 or whatever. It's because we were on the plane, and Ken, I mean, we're just not going to have the numbers. We're far too light, is it? Well, we're not far too light. Look at the season we've had. We've really risked it this season and got away with it, really, with the numbers we've got. And it's good, like David Gray came on, he was great on Saturday, but like, can we rely on him next season for a whole season? He's got a lifetime contract for any minute, but I just think that the backup, they're getting older and older. We're going to have to get young bodies in. We've got to lose a couple, at least. He's already said that at the AGM. So I think we're going to need a load of signings. We had no strikers as backup. We played Benin on Saturday. So we already need strikers as backup before we sell any of them. How negative they are sound, eh? But I just think there's huge chance to make improvement. There's every position almost.
If players go for the money that's been getting talked about, the 500,000 for Campbell is going to be small change for Hibs as well. Do you know, we're looking at a potentially very lucrative couple of months for Hibs. It looks like season ticket sales are going well. If things go away on Saturday, that's a nice wee windfall for us. And then if we sell a couple of players that are attracting the big attention, you could be looking at a £10 million, £12 million plus summer. So 500,000 for Campbell is well affordable. Sean, what about you? Where would you like to strengthen in the summer?
Probably the turf, the pitch. That would be a good start. We're going to be playing a hell of a lot of games, and it was bloody honking for a good portion of the season. So whatever we do, get some extra strong super grow grass seed in there. Some of the good stuff. I've been learning all about punching holes in your grass and aerating. Maybe they need to do a bit of that. I don't know, Ken.
I saw a thing on the infomercial channels that you get, like if you fall asleep with the telly on and you wake up in the early hours of the morning, and it was like grass patches. It was like a fabric thing that they put down.
I know what you're talking about.
And then they watered it, and the next thing was like fucking Wembley.
It
wasn't plastic. It was.
But it looks like it.
They just roll it out and then water it, and then Bob's your uncle was like fucking Crest
coming. Get some of that in.
They just get that.
Advertising on Hibs TV, no? Must be the only thing that is
named. That'll be this weekend.
In all seriousness, I thought Colin had spot on. I think there's a few areas that we need to strengthen to be able to keep going in all fronts. And I think the trouble we're going to have is the same thing that we're all quite chuffed about. So we're all quite chuffed that we're going to get good money for a few players. We're quite chuffed at the fact that Big Ron saying, listen, I'm not selling unless you've given me the right sort of money, because we don't need to sell because we've got money. But all that does is bump up the price at everybody that you go for. You look at Man United. Man United can't buy a second string English league player for less than 25 million because they've got hundreds and hundreds of millions. So us bragging and doing well, all that means is your 200 grand player is 500 grand. I think we have to be a bit careful and a bit shrewd about how we play it.
Aye.
But I'm sure Big Ron's got it in the bag.
If any other clubs were listening to the podcast, they're always being in Lira when I was saying about getting We've not got money. I think the strikers are an issue, not for the fact that the ones that we've got didn't perform. I think just for the, like you said, Colin, the numbers. Saturday was a prime example where we couldn't go to the bench and bring on like a Chris Dagnall or, you know, somebody like that to start the game. You were relying on Melker Hallberg, which isn't a position we want to be in, because it would only take two of them getting injured. You know, like if Doyle.
They get the reasoning sending Gullen out. He's better playing because he wouldn't have been playing all this time. He would have got a game on Saturday, and that would have been about his only game for February onwards or whatever. Fine. So I get the reasoning behind it. And hopefully the laddie is up to it, that he can be fourth-choice striker next season and play a bit more minutes, because we will need a fourth-choice striker next season that we didn't need this season.
Aye. And we've got this tie-in with Portsmouth as well. Did you see that today? No, Portsmouth. Aye.
Brighton Hove Albion.
Aye. Typical, I get that fucking wrong. Jackson Irvine. That's who we've tied up with. Irvine Jackson and Brighton and Hove Albion. Two teams down in that area of the country, Brighton and Hove Albion. What do you make of that bit of news? Good thing, bad thing?
It's got to be good. See how it pans out. It's going to be youth players going both ways. So it can only benefit them. They're going to get some different games, different formations, this, that, and the other. And if we can get some really good up and coming players for them, because they've done well in the Premier League this year, they were all right.
Yeah.
What is the tie-in? Do we know? I've not read anything on it.
Aye, so the idea is, right, focused primarily on player development, and I don't know whether that includes player exchanges, but I think what Hibs are trying to do now, and this is just my take on it, is they talk about this yellow brick road pathway that they've got for development players coming in, and they say the path's going to be different for everybody. So what I think that will look like in practice is you'll have player A will go out on loan to the Lowland League and have that experience, and then they come back there and they might go across to Charleston Battery in America and get a year's experience in America, which is a bit of a higher level than the Lowland League. Then they might come back their season at Stenhouse Muir or a season at Brighton, and then we might have players from Brighton coming to experience in our academy as part of their development journey or into our first team as a stepping stone to going into the team in the Premiership. So I think that's how they're looking at doing it. But the other thing they were talking about is being able to share best practice to use kind of corporate wank words and go down and see kind of how, what are the best coaching practices, how you develop in your scouting system and all that kind of stuff, and just share experience and knowledge with each other.
And are they well known for having a good scouting system in that, like? Is that why we're teamed up with them, or what's the...
I don't know. Couldn't tell you what their setup is like, aye. But you'd imagine it's a fairly expensive one.
So
we could also exchange seagulls, eh? There's enough of them in Leith.
The seagull exchange was a deal breaker, wasn't it? That was kind of they've got other ones that just terrorising everybody. They embrace the seagulls in Brighton. They've got a big fucking homage to them on their banners.
See, when you said they embrace these eagles, I've got pictures of them lying down on the pitch just waiting to be shot.
Mind that happened? Who was it? Ashley Young? Was that his name? The Man United player that was played at the bird shot in his mouth?
Actually, yeah.
That's some... folk, when somebody gets a bad injury, everyone goes, oh, yeah, but I just kind of look at it. That's my one of that. Like, the injuries I'm not so bad with. But anytime I see that clip and he's running, he's a fucking direct hit. Imagine the kudos that seagull got for his mates.
Pay for birds to do that for him.
just know during the game. I'm sure there's a Gary Locke joke in there somewhere that we're not going to make for legal reasons as well. A film or a song title to sum up our season. What have you come up with?
Well, I put, I'm racking my brains for ages trying to get something with this. So I went for Stand By Me. And the reason for that is because during halfway through the season, when everybody had the daggers, get him out, we can't win big games, he's no good enough for Hibs, we play boring football, blah, 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 blah. Stood by him, and he's got us into this cup final, got us 11 wins on the road, playing some decent football, and we can't keep chopping and changing managers every second year or year and a half. It's just not on. We'll give somebody a run at it. So stand by me. Come on, Jack Ross.
Nice one. Colin, what about you?
Well, I'm hoping Sunday's the hangover part two. But the in terms of songs, it was on a similar line of that there. I was thinking, don't look back in anger, even if we do get beat. You know what I mean? It's still been a good season, but it's not going to be obviously the what we want. But my main choice was probably moving on up, in people, because that's what we've done this season, and hopefully we'll carry on moving on up.
What about you, Sean?
I went for Bittersweet Symphony just because it's been beautiful, but it's been shite not being there. It's really boring, but that's all I could come up with.
Nah, that's a good one. From Facebook, Andy Allen, he had a few good men. He never had a few good men. His answer was a few good men. Andy, I was implying that. I'm sorry about that.
Is that just because you can't handle the truth, Matty? And he did have a few good men.
I want answers. Vince Robinson, he said, from Misery to Happiness today, from Shrek. Alan Shaw, Roller Coaster by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I've got a big order for Alan Shaw's Bakers for Saturday as well. Tom Fearney, Lightning in the Dark, for those flashes of brilliance that have got us to the final. Ian Tully, Wish You Were Here, Pink Floyd, and also The Big Lebowski, Lewis Stevenson, Abides. Kenny Whitson, Some Heroes Don't Wear Capes by Callum Beattie. Do you know that song?
No. He's Philippe, that laddie, though.
Is he?
Aye. He sung the Salamander Street.
All right. Oh, I can't remember who he is. Now you say Jack Gillies, Living on a Prayer. That was for Twitter. Life is a Roller Coaster, Ronan Keating. That was for Charlie Banks. Paul King, Rita Sue and Bob Too. Doesn't really help with the answer, but that was the first thing that came into my head.
That's it.
Dave Graham, I'd Rather Jack than Fleetwood Mac, the Reynolds Girls. Good Times Come to Those Who Wait. Close Encounters of the Hibs Kind. Jack Ross is the Wizard of Easter Road. Stop or Kevin Nisbet Will Shoot, and The Good, The Bad and The Ugly, pick your three starring actors. Hard to Beat by Hardfi, that was from Bestie to Beastie, and then he says, but Ask Me Again on Saturday afternoon. 150K on Hanlon Hill, said Milk It, Nirvana, as it says, enjoy it while you can, don't take anything for granted, hashtag old bastard. Andrew McBee said The Man by Aloha Black, and there's a nice wee picture of Jack Ross in his green cardigan. And Three is a Magic Number, also from Andrew McBee, with a wee photo of Boyle, Nidgbit, and Doyce.
Our
new fun life.
He needs to wear that green cardigan. He needs to wear that.
He needs to.
If I don't see him in it, or I have a photo of him in it by the start of next season, then life's not right.
There's a challenge. Gauntlet's been chucked down. Joe Parker said, hopefully for Saturday, Maloko, The Time Is Now. Oscar Ramage, Star Wars, The Force Awakens. That was a good one as well. The Third Force, there we go. And I think that is our lot for it. Oh, no, it's not right, but it's okay. Andy Grierson, that was for Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston sung it. Andy Grierson didn't sing it. And Whitney Houston sung it on Twitter. She sends us stuff on Twitter. No, she doesn't. She's D, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Right, I didn't realise that when I started that. I was just going to pretend that she said this stuff on Twitter, and I got halfway through and thought, no, she doesn't. Jeff Ashton, The Sound of Silence from Simon and Garfunkel, or My Perfect Cousin, The Undertones in brackets, Kevin. And Ladij, I Fucking Tell You, You Stupid Cunt by Joe Viterbo. I kind of mean that one on Top of the Pops. Maybe didn't.
I'm still trying to get over the punchline, she's deep.
Jeff Ashton, I Wish You Were Here, Pink Floyd, which I think we had already. Ray, Flaming Lips, Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, and he said Hibs or Yoshimi. And Kaiser Soze, he's the last one of the night, Journey, Don't Stop Believing, which is kind of what we all need to do for, or all need to not do. What did you not stop believing, or do you
don't double negatives?
No, not stop believing. Fuck it, keep believing.
You got any? Did you come up with any? You set the question. Did you come up with any?
I kind of set it and then never thought about it again. So if I was, well, Goodfellas, did that for the team. And then if the three boys score goals at the weekend, it could be The Usual Suspects winning it for us. And then Time for Heroes, we'll go with that as well, just the Hibs DVD. And hope that does the trick on Saturday. Anyway, right, I kind of made, did we do predictions on Quick Bank call?
Yes, we did.
We did. Can you remember what you said?
I do.
2-0?
I did, 2-0. Porteous and Deutsch.
I can't remember.
Porteous is due one. He's coming up big here. He's not, I can't think I'm scoring one this season. He used to chip in. Well, I see, used to, even in the youth team, and then even in, when he first came in the team. He must be due a goal for a corner. That love train thing they do, and that when they all go different directions and then the ball goes a different direction again. The Saturday it's going straight on the poacher's seat and wrapping it in. What's the
shiny high beat people? That was something that I thought of for then.
Just
now. Poacher's has scored a Scottish Cup final winner, didn't he, for the youth team?
I think so, aye. Aberdeen or something.
Aye. I'm sure he got the winner in that game. Jamie, what was your prediction for Saturday?
I just hope we win. I'm not bothered what is. I don't like making predictions because I have a horrible way coming and biting me in the arse. So I just hope we win. That's I'm confident that we are due them one, but if we turn up on Saturday, it'll be a joy to see. I'm no bothered how it comes. It's just as long as you get over the line.
Nice one, Sean.
I'm going 4-1. It'll be 1-1 up until the 70th minute, and then we're going to start banging them in.
Take that, yep, that'd be nice.
I'd take that every day of the week.
I can't remember what I said on Saturday, but maybe said 3-9 or something like that.
You said I'm not predicting, because what we discussed, remember, was that your predictions are notorious to shite, so you've got to back St Johnston at the bookies because you've never won a bet in your life, is that right? Is that something like that? It was
more or less.
So that was what we decided. You weren't going to say nothing. But I do feel more confident for this one. I never feel confident for a game like this. But I say never. You'll remember the time the Kilmarnock won. I backed 4-1 and Rob Jones' first scorer in 2007.
Aye.
So when Fletcher tapped that fifth one in, when Coombe made an arse, it was like, I just lost over maybe hundreds of pounds.
It's like the opposite of one going wide where you're like,
you're jumping up and you've done me a few hundred quid. There wasn't much money I had on it, but the odds obviously for that were the other time I felt confident was this confident was a Hearts game, but we ended up drawing it 2-2, but we started off with flying 2-0. Zamama scored, mind the one Zamama put Craig Gordon on his arse and put it in, and we went 2-0 up, and then Zibby came into the game and gave him a hand. And I was like, because it's 2-0, I'm going, we're doing it again. I knew it. I can throw it away. So hopefully the feeling's justified.
Aye.
Fingers crossed, Colin. Keeping everything crossed for that.
And what was the plan? Like, we win it and everybody's doing the leaf walk and the links and that, just to trash the place and go fucking baggering each other. Is that
definitely.
That the deal?
I don't know whether they'd be anti-Catholic or anti-Protestant stuff. I'm not sure they go. So I'm a Protestant, always a Catholic. I didn't believe in God. What did I do? What did I call
it? Take it away. just cover all bases.
My pal works, she owns an embroidery shop in Duke Street, and she's going to fill our place with drink. I just when I was going to talk about that, I got to make me this till.
Quality. Well,
you're brilliant.
Right. This is our last, I was going to say last long bangers before the cup final, last one of the season, but it's not quite. So we're doing a Scottish Cup preview special on Thursday. So instead of doing short bangers, we're going to do that, but we're also going to wrap in a bit of long bangers to preview the cup game. We've got a couple of the boys from Down the Slope coming on to join us as well to mark the occasion. And then on Saturday, we'll do quick bang night after the cup final. And on Monday, we'll have episode 100 long bangers. That's why we're squeezing episode 99 in. Looked at it last week. I was like, oh, fuck, that's going to go to. Can't remember if it was you that pointed that out, Colin.
I messaged you after this.
Aye. I thought we better squeeze one in so we can hopefully commemorate episode 100 with some fucking good news. Didn't let me down, Hibs. That's all I'm asking.
First game of next season will be episode 100, otherwise.
You'll lose yours for the rest of the summer. Right, guys, thanks very much for coming on anyway. Thanks for listening, everybody. That's us for the night. Good luck for Saturday, and we'll see you then. I
gonna trail me down. When I broke free, I drank all the whiskey in Tennessee. I don't drink water, no, you know what I mean.